We've been talking about the process of moving from relief to reconstruction in Haiti, a process that isn't just about rebuilding government offices, homes, and infrastructure. It's about rebuilding people. Marjorie Velbrun wrote about the wrenching sadness of being a Haitian American and living here, a combination, as she put it, of sadness and survivor's guilt. Her father, who lost friends in the quake and also lost his home, has been living here in Florida. She joins us in just a moment. We want to hear from you, Haitians, Haitian Americans in our audience. What does this day mean to you? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Marjorie Velbrun is a journalist and a regular contributor to The Root, and she joins us here in Studio 3A. Very nice of you to come in today.
Nice to be with you.
And for you, what does this day bring back?
Well, just a lot of the sad memories. And I've been thinking a lot about how we talked so much about the hope and resilience of the Haitian people and how that would help and, you know, and really shore up the people and the country. But I think looking back at that, it's a year later, and there's just been so little progress, and so much worse things have happened with the whole cholera outbreak, and you've had, you know, hurricane storms, people are still homeless. And I think that Haitians will always have hope, but I think that their resilience is waning. And I think it's time for things to get moving quickly.
A year ago, you wrote about your father. At that point, you did not know where he was, but you assumed that a man of such resilience would be taking care of himself, indeed taking care of others. And you wrote movingly in a recent piece about his relocation to Miami, where he also has a home, but his sadness and his continuing, is PTSD too strong a term to use?
Perhaps a mild form of it. I think, you know, I think that he struggled, but there are other people I know who are struggling even worse. So yeah, he's having a hard time. You know, but Haitians, you know, there's always, especially older Haitians, they have, you know, they love being in this country, but they also, their hearts remain in Haiti. And I think for so many Haitians who thought about, you know, retiring there and, you know, spending the end of their lives there, that prospect now seems in question. And that's a very hard thing for them to accept. And as I wrote in my piece, for Haitians like me who are younger, you know, we always thought, oh, well, Haiti is always going to be there. And, you know, we can think about retiring there later if we want. But at the very least, we can spend time there. We can vacation there. We could maybe, you know, take a year off and live there or do something there. And that all seems kind of tenuous now.
Let's see if we get a caller in on the conversation. Pierre with us from St. Louis.
Yes. Number one, I would like to talk about the cholera and the fact that it came from Nepal. And those Nepalese came to Haiti because of President Bush's politics of removing Aristide in Haiti. If had Aristide allowed to finish his term and be judged by the international community for whatever crime he may have committed, we wouldn't need those Nepalese to bring the cholera in Haiti and cause more sufferances than what we already have been experiencing. And the politics of the government of America, things that works in America would not work in Haiti, and they must understand that. We have been have democracies for more than 200 years. In Haiti, we never really had a pure chance to do it because every time democracy works in Haiti, the CIA or the government of America find a way to get into it and make it not work. And that has caused dictatorship by François Duvalier. That has caused famine. That has caused dictatorship by all Henri Nafi, all those coups that we had between 86 and 1990. And finally, Aristide, and I'm not saying he was a saint, was elected, he got overthrown in some kind of ways. In 2000, something happened again, and Bush found a way to overthrow him. And now we have that cholera that is going to cause more than the earthquake, that is going to cause more for tourism and anybody who wants to go in Haiti, especially Haitian American who are living here.
I can understand your anger at the cholera outbreak, and there are some reports that it did indeed come with the Nepalese troops, with UN peacekeepers. But to say that it's going to cause damages worse than the earthquake is going quite a ways. But I wonder, Marjorie Velbrun, as you listen to Pierre speak, the frustration here is palpable.
It is very palpable. But you know, the situation in Haiti is so complicated. I mean, he's talking a lot about politics and about past dictatorships and, you know, U.S. foreign policy and all of those things, you know, all those concerns are valid. But, you know, the earthquake was, a natural disaster, and so have been the hurricanes and the storms. And, you know, yes, the cholera has complicated things immensely. And, you know, it is causing a lot of deaths. I think maybe he was saying that it maybe in the long run it will cause more deaths than the earthquake. And I don't know if that's the case. But I
think... In any case, if so, it has a long way to go.
Yeah, it does. And I think that rather than maybe looking at all these past issues, that we really need to be looking forward, that we really need to be talking about what the international community is doing, what these 20,000 NGOs on the ground are doing, the money that was pledged, the $5 billion that was pledged by the donor nations, very little of it has come in. The elections that they recently had were just a mess, and that's kept things from moving as well because I think the international community is hesitant to release the funds until we have a stable government, which we don't have there. And so it's just like a perfect storm of everything that could go wrong. And, you know, at the end of the day, the people who suffer the most are the people who are on the ground and the powerless Haitian people. And I don't know what the answer is, you know. And I don't want to say that, you know, people should not be hopeful, but I do think that the hope is really waning. And I think that we really need, like, emergency measures at this point.
Joining us by phone now is Franz-Antoine Lecomte, a Haitian writer and professor at the Kingsborough campus of the City University of New York. We spoke to him on this day a year ago. Nice to have you back, Professor. Excuse me, Franz-Antoine Lecomte, are you there?
Hiya, how are you doing?
Very well. I'm just inviting you back on the program after a year. What are you thinking about on this anniversary? Who will you be talking to other than us today?
I do think that this is a very this is a day that reminds us of a very sad thing, the catastrophe that happened in Haiti 1 year ago. And I think that all Haitians did expect the international community to reiterate its long-term commitment to support the country during reconstruction and to do so with respect for the Haitian leadership, even though they didn't have in Haiti some form of leadership that would be considered very well here in the United States of America and elsewhere. So Haiti acting as international partner to mobilize the financial resources required to respond to the emergency. So I think that after a year, despite a lot of promises that have been made, jobs were not created and disaster victims were not relocated, and some schools did open, and higher education institutions not working very well, and health care is still in disarray. So they didn't really have a very good preparation for the hurricane season. They could not bridge the gap in state tax revenue, and they did not really restart the administration and boost the economic channel. So in other words, what I'm looking at now is a country in distress, even though a lot of promise have been made from the international community. But they really, really, nothing have really happened in a very successful. No one is really satisfied, I would say. For the time being, they are still waiting for the emergence of a new government, and then perhaps if that happens, so things will get better. But for the time being, I think that news that I'm getting from my friends, when I'm watching the news here in the United States of America, everything seems to be really very, very dim, and there is not that much hope.
And I was just going to ask you, Marjorie Valbrun was just talking about that with us, the sense of hope. And yes, of course, there's belief in the resilience of the Haitian people who have been through so much in their history, but that this time around, it's going to be very difficult to get back to square one.
Well, it is true, because there was so much destruction, and the earthquake really has damaged the whole country, and the impacts were really tremendous, and they had impact on human life, they had impact on infrastructure, they have impact on the environment, damage, loss, and et cetera, et cetera. So if you were thinking about all the area of national life in Haiti, and everyone has been touched, everyone has suffered. If you are thinking about what has to be rebuilt for instance, territorial rebuilding, economic rebuilding, social rebuilding, institutional rebuilding, and macroeconomic framework, and all everything must be a priority. And the challenges are really enormous mm-hmm. there.
Have you been back? Will you go back?
Just once, but very briefly. And what you have been seeing, it's really terrible. It's beyond really explanation. You don't know what is happening there, and everything seems so far still now very chaotic, and you don't know exactly when things are going to get better. And I don't. It's not that I am desperate, but if someone were to ask me and to indicate when things are going to be better, I would not be able to know what to say.
Franz-Antoine Lecomte, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Franz-Antoine Lecomte is a professor at the City University of New York, Kingsborough campus. Joined us by phone from there. He's a Haitian-American writer. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And journalist Marjorie Valbrun is still with us. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of the rebuilding that he's talking about, those things were very fragile to begin with. I mean, Haiti didn't have a good physical infrastructure.
Square one was not such a great place. Yeah.
Exactly. And the political structure was bad. And, you know, people keep comparing it to, comparing it to Katrina. And I said, it's not the same thing at all. And if we can't even, you know, get Louisiana in a country that's, you know, a first world country and can't rebuild it overnight, I think the expectations that Haiti would be in a different place by this year were really unrealistic. And I think that the job is mammoth. And I think it's going to take a decade or more because they were working from such a low base to begin with, you know. And so as a result, I think that the Haitian people have a long haul ahead of them.
And as you look toward the perceptiveness and persistence of foreign donors and NGOs, some people said this is a project that may take 25 years mm-hmm. at minimum. And do you expect that those agencies are still going to be around 25 years from now, continuing to work and continuing to provide the kind of support Haitians will need?
I don't know about 25 years. I mean, but there are some agencies that had been in Haiti before the earthquake who
sure.
have been there for years, and I think that they will continue to do the work. I think that what will serve in Haiti's best interest is that there's so much goodwill out there for Haiti. I read a poll that said that 53% of Americans gave.
Mm-hmm.
This has been unprecedented.
Rajiv Shah was with us today. He said it was higher than that. It's 60% of American families.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing. You know, I think the challenge will be to, you know, get past the bureaucracy, the corruption, the duplication of services, organizations working across purposes, all of those are going to be big, big challenges. You know, when you have 20,000 NGOs or non-governmental organizations working there, that's pretty amazing. But it's also, it's you know, I think it's going to be complicated with them trying to not do what the other agents, what other groups are doing. They're competing sometimes for grants. And there is the potential for corruption, and not just on the Haitian side, on the other sides as well. And so I think that, you know, people will have to be patient. I mean, I talked in my piece about the diaspora, the Haitian diaspora. We're 2 million strong. You know, we're highly educated. I mean, we basically prop up the Haitian economy with you know, money that we send home.
Remittances.
Exactly.
Called, yeah.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, there's lots of Haitians who have gone back and who have made a commitment to stay. You know, but the problem is there's not places for them to stay. And, you know, the ones that have expertise, there's no jobs for them to go back and help rebuild. So on our end, we feel frustrated, you know, like how do we make an impact? How do we make a change? And what can we do? And will we be welcomed? And it's extremely overwhelming.
Well, we asked Franz-Antoine Lecomte if he was going back. Are you going
Yeah.
back?
And, you know, I'm ashamed that I haven't been back sooner, but I'm planning to go maybe at the end of this month with my father. I had planned to be there for the anniversary, but because of logistics, we couldn't go. But I am going to go back. And there's a part of me that's been resisting because I just felt emotionally not ready to see everything. And I've worked as a reporter, you know, many, many times over decades, and I've seen some of the worst things imaginable. And I have friends who are reporters there who are telling me, you know, when are you going to come? You have to be here. You need to see this. But, you know, as a Haitian American, you know, it's hard. And I try to be a professional, but at the same time, when you see so much death and destruction around you, and you know that, you know, there for the grace of God go you, it's hard.
It's also hard on your dad, as you mentioned. His home was severely damaged. Indeed, I believe it's been condemned.
Yes, yes. And he loved this house. It took him 10 years to build with sweat equity and, you know, savings over many, many years, building it room by room. And he's very devastated by that, and he's devastated by what he sees around him. And he's, you know, he's 83, and he feels like, how do I start over at my age? And I have 5 siblings, and we've been talking to him about maybe not thinking about it starting over, that maybe he shouldn't rebuild, that maybe, you know, we just have to kind of close that chapter of our life.
And that's going to be, this is a man who expected to end his life
exactly.
in his native country.
Yeah.
That would mean moving back to Miami.
I'm sorry?
And if he accepts your decision, he may have to move back to Miami.
Yeah, well, you know, he says he'll go back and forth, and that maybe even if he doesn't rebuild, he can still live in Haiti, you know, in a different place, maybe in a smaller place. But the house was like a huge 8-bedroom house, and it was his idea was that the whole family would be there, and that, you know, we would visit with the grandkids, and that we would do holidays there. And he really, that's what he's worked for his whole life, to be able to do this. And so it's very, very devastating.
So one of the dreams that died a year ago today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And we wish you and your dad the best.
Thank you so much.
Marjorie Valbrun is a journalist and regular contributor to The Root and was kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A today. You can find a link to her op-ed from today's Washington Post on our website, along with the thoughts of Silvana Joseph, a Haitian-American who we talked with last year after the quake. Tomorrow, Inside Unemployment. We'll talk about what it's like to navigate the ins and outs of this massive bureaucracy, all while trying to find a new job. Plus, why are we losing our best military officers? Join us for that tomorrow at this hour on Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.